From the headquarters of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut, this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, March 10th, 2017. This program is produced by the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and features news highlights compiled from the ARRL letter, found on the web at arrl.org. Sitting in for Sean Kutzko, I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY. Once the go-to store for radio amateurs, electronics tinkerers, and shortwave listeners, Radio Shack has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy for the second time in 2 years, placing the future of its remaining stores in jeopardy. The 1,743 retail outlets that survived Radio Shack's 2015 bankruptcy were acquired by General Wireless Incorporated, an affiliate of Standard General, which, at the time, received U.S. Bankruptcy Court approval to acquire the inventory and assume the leases of the Radio Shack stores. Now down to 1,500 stores, Radio Shack once boasted more than 5,000 stores nationwide. At least some of Radio Shack's 5,900 employees could be affected. That figure is down from 7,500 workers 2 years ago. The acquisition by General Wireless followed a bankruptcy auction in 2015. Plans at the time called for, quote, co-branding about 1,400 of the surviving stores with cellular telephone provider Sprint. Radio Shack also closed more stores and slashed operating expenses by more than 20%, but that wasn't enough. The company cited, quote, surprisingly poor, close quote, mobile phone sales as a factor. Chapter 11 gives Radio Shack another opportunity to restructure and stay in business. The retailer joins other brick-and-mortar stores forced to shutter outlets in the face of declining sales and fiscal losses, with electronics stores especially hard hit. Dating back to its founding in 1921, Radio Shack once offered a considerable array of name-brand amateur radio equipment, even beams and towers, along with home entertainment gear and discrete components, including transistors, resistors, and capacitors. Its iconic 1960s-era catalog ran to more than 300 pages. In later years, it sold a variety of popular 2-meter handheld transceivers, as well as citizen band equipment, 10-meter single-band transceivers, and shortwave receivers. Radio Shack's website has announced a clearance sale with some items steeply discounted. New FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, just nominated for a second 5-year term on the FCC by President Donald Trump, is declaring the initial phase of his pilot program to increase the transparency of its rulemaking process a success. Pai announced the program in early February. It will, for the first time, make public the full text of documents circulated to the rest of the commission for a vote at FCC open meetings. Under prior practice, such documents would have been kept under wraps until after the commission voted on them. Commenting on FCC process reform in 2014, the ARRL said, quote, "The commission's decision-making process must not only be fair, it must be perceived as fair," close quote. While no amateur radio issues are up for consideration at this month's meeting, the FCC will address a proposal to combat robocalls, a top source of consumer complaints to the FCC. Pai's first FCC term officially ended last June, but FCC rules allow him to stay until the end of 2017, even if he isn't confirmed by the Senate for another term. The president named Pai as chairman earlier this year, an appointment that did not require Senate confirmation since he was a sitting commissioner. A 3-way race has shaped up in a special election to fill ARRL Southwestern Division Vice President's chair. The candidates are Edward Ned Stearns, AA7A, of Scottsdale, Arizona, who briefly served in the position more than 10 years ago, Lawrence Grant Hayes, WB6OTS, of Sierra Vista, Arizona, and Frank Westfall, K6FW, of Chino, California. The ARRL Board Ethics and Elections Committee has reviewed the petitions received for all three candidates and certified them as eligible to run. Hayes, an ARRL member and a licensee for more than 50 years, has been active in the Amateur Radio Emergency Service, the National Traffic System, and the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, as well as Army MARS. Stearns, a radio amateur for nearly 54 years, is a recently retired RF systems engineer who credits his amateur radio background for his career success. Westfall, an ARRL Life member, said he wants to give something back to amateur radio, which started him on his professional career managing the communications division of a public safety agency. He has been licensed since 1975 and has been active in MARS and RACES. And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
Two CubeSat missions with ties to AMSAT have been selected as part of the eighth round of the NASA CubeSat Launch Initiative. These spacecraft are eligible for placement on a launch manifest after final negotiations, depending on the availability of a flight opportunity. TJ Reverb is a CubeSat from Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology in Alexandria, Virginia. This satellite will include an AMSAT Fox Mode UV FM repeater. HuskySat 1 from the University of Washington in Seattle will carry a Mode VU linear transponder and 1200 baud BPSK beacon, similar to RadFXSat 2. The satellite will demonstrate plasma propulsion and high-gain telemetry in advance of a larger CubeSat lunar mission. Thanks to Drew, KO4MA, AMSAT Vice President for Operations and the AMSAT News Service. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
Uruguay and Hong Kong have joined the list of countries that have established new bands in the vicinity of 5 MHz. The final acts of the World Radio Communications Conference 2015 provided for a secondary international allocation of 5351.5 to 5366.5 kHz to the amateur radio service. In Uruguay, the new amateur radio allocations that came into force on February 24th provide for a 5351.5 to 5366.5 kHz 60-meter band, as well as for allocations on 472 to 479 kHz, 47 to 47.2 GHz, and 77.5 to 78 GHz. In addition, radio amateurs in Uruguay now have extended allocations on 80 meters at 3,500 to 4,000 kHz, and on 160 meters from 1,800 to 2,000 kHz. The new bands and subbands were adopted according to the recently updated International Amateur Radio Union Region 2 band plan. In Hong Kong, Telecommunications Authority OFCA has allocated 5351.5 to 5366.5 kHz to the amateur radio service on a secondary basis. Cape Cod National Seashore in Massachusetts has invited organizers of an amateur radio special event in April to their event marking the 105th anniversary of the Titanic disaster. The Titanic Marconi Memorial Radio Association of Cape Cod, W1MGY, is sponsoring the worldwide commemoration to honor the approximately 1,500 passengers and crew who died when the Titanic, thought to be unsinkable, struck an iceberg and sank on its maiden voyage from England to the United States. W1MGY operators have permission to operate from the national park for 3 days and 2 nights. Sponsors point out that the 740 Titanic survivors were rescued by the Carpathia as a result of wireless messages sent from Marconi's Wellfleet Station. Between April 13th and April 22nd, the National Park will host commemorative events, including the special event centering on the Titanic disaster and the evolution of wireless communication, culminating in the worldwide International Marconi Day. All Titanic events will be held at the Salt Pond Visitor Center in Eastham. Events are free and open to the public. For more than a decade, W1MGY Special Operations have marked Titanic anniversaries. ARRL Lab staffer Mike Gruber, W1MG, became W1MGY's trustee in 2003, and he and others have operated Titanic special events in April from the Titanic Museum in Indian Orchard, Massachusetts. This year, W1MGY will set up two stations staffed by about a dozen volunteers and will operate on CW, SSB, and possibly PSK-31. All operating will be done in the general class band segments. W1MGY will be on the air for a public demonstration on April 15th from 9:30 until about 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is sponsored by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright 2017 ARRL, and all rights are reserved. Until next week, I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY 73, and thanks for listening.